Flying through another morning, Monday morning, October 14th, and we got a big hour for you. We're going to talk to Nancy Landry in a little bit, Louisiana Secretary of State. Early voting starts October the 18th, so we'll make sure you get all registered up and all that stuff and ready to vote. Then we're going to talk to the president and CEO of the City Park Conservancy, Rebecca Dietz. They are having some meetings about the future long-term planning for City Park. And I would ask you can text me at 504-260-1870. What would you like to see more of in City Park or less of in City Park? And then we're going to talk about the LSU football that's available. You can join WWL tomorrow. We're taking a show on the road, the shows on the road, for Medicare Enrollment Day. Tomorrow morning, myself, along with Dave Cohen and Scoot, I'll be live from Metairie at the People's Health Medicare Center on Vets from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Whole goal is to make your life easy. If you need to make a decision about Medicare for yourself or somebody you love, come on out and see us. Medicare experts will be on hand to help you make an informed decision, and People's Health experts will host educational seminars at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. But they will have people available to talk to you before that. Plus, we'll serve up coffee and donuts in the morning, give away World War II museum tickets, and help you take the confusion out of your Medicare decision, which can be daunting. Come on out tomorrow. I'll be there. Dave Cohen, Scoot, Medicare Enrollment Day, Tuesday, October 15th. Starts at 6, runs till 4 at People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets near Causeway, right next to Party City on WWL. We look forward to meeting you. With that, we welcome in Secretary of State Nancy Landry. Good morning, Madam Secretary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How are you?
I'm okay. I want to talk about early voting and registration and all that stuff. today is the deadline for some registration, is it not?
It's tomorrow, actually. The deadline to register online is tomorrow, October 15th, to vote in the November 5th election.
And what's necessary to register online?
You need your Louisiana driver's license and just, you know, follow the instructions at govote.com. And it's very easy. It's never been easier to register to vote in Louisiana or to vote in Louisiana.
Tell me what's going on with early voting.
Early voting starts Friday the 18th. That's this Friday. This is a big week for elections. We have the deadline to register to vote and the beginning of early voting. For presidential elections now, we have 10 days of early voting. So it will be October 18th through the 29th, except not on Sundays. We don't early vote on Sundays.
Tell me.
It's 8:30 to 6. 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And how do you find out? Is there a website where people can go to find out in their parish where they go and so where the
poll? Absolutely. We have govote.com. That's G-E-A-U-X, vote.com. Or we recommend people download our award-winning mobile app, and that's the GoVote app, G-E-A-U-X, vote. You can find your early voting locations and also your sample ballot.
How does it, what's the situation with poll commissioners? Are you in need of those or not?
We're always in need of more poll commissioners. We have an aging population of poll commissioners who are our stalwart workers. We couldn't do elections without them. But many of them are deciding to retire. They're aging out. They're in their 80s, many of them, and they're just ready to hang it up now. And we need some younger people to step up and take their place. And so we're always looking for new poll commissioners. It's a great way to learn about elections. It's a wonderful way to connect with your community. And you just contact your local clerk of court if you're interested in doing that. It's a great way to make a little bit of money before Christmas as well.
What is it like to be a poll commissioner? The day in the life of a poll commissioner, is there a training period or what, Nancy?
There's a short training period. It's usually done in August and September, but they do allow some clerks have an online training for people who sign up late if they still need commissioners. And it's, you know, I think just a couple of hours, maybe even an hour. And then once you're certified to be a commissioner, you get picked in a drawing to be the commissioner, and you work usually close to your home at your own precinct. And it's a long day. You have to be there before the polls open and stay until the end. You check voters in. You check their IDs. There are different duties. Some people check them in and have them sign the book. Others, you know, walk them to the machines. It just depends on what the duties they're assigned are. But it's a long day, but it's very rewarding. You see your whole community, and you learn about how secure and safe our elections are, and it gives you a lot of confidence in the voting system as well.
Well, you mentioned money for Christmas. What's the remuneration for that?
I think it's $200 for a regular commissioner. It's more if you're the commissioner in charge, which I think you have to have a little bit of experience mm-hmm. to be the commissioner in charge. But it's $200, and it's right before Christmas, so it's a great way to make some extra Christmas money.
Let's talk about safety and security of elections, I guess specifically early voting. At one point, something was made of that, and I don't want to bring politics into this at all, but let's just talk about the importance and the need for early voting. For people who would say, why can't we just vote on election day itself, you would say what?
I'd say it's safe and secure to vote on early voting in person. You show your ID when you come in, and it's just the same as voting on election day, in my opinion. So just get it done in case you get sick on election day, or there's a big game, or there's something, you know, something comes up and you end up getting distracted and you can't vote. So I always like to vote early. That's my favorite way to vote. But we have some of the safest and securest elections in the nation. We're ranked in the top 10 in the nation by the Heritage Foundation and first in the South by the Electoral Integrity College. And so, you know, we're known for doing elections right in Louisiana. So you can vote with confidence in Louisiana, whether you vote early in person or on election day in person, or if you're absent those 2 days or for some reason can't vote in person, you can also vote absentee if you have one of the excuses that would allow you to vote absentee.
Yeah, I was getting to that. The difference between early voting and absentee voting is early voting, you can vote early, but you need to vote in person. Absentee voting is you do it by mail?
That's right. You do it by mail, or you request a ballot. They send the ballot to you, the registrar sends the ballot to you, and then you can deliver it back in person to the registrar of voters, or you can mail it back. But it is done, you know, on a paper ballot through the mail. The ballot is sent to you in the mail.
Tell me about who qualifies for absentee voting.
We have 12 excuses for absentee voting. It's the people over 65, people who are disabled, people who are in the hospital, on jury duty, in the military, and, you know, things like that. If you're going to be out of town for both early voting and election day, you qualify to get an absentee ballot as well. And we encourage people, if you're going to vote absentee, that you do it as early as possible because of the delay with the mail. The mail, we have no control over the U.S. mail. And even though our deadlines go all the way up to you can return your ballot the day before election day, we don't recommend that because of the unreliability of the mail system.
For those that, you know, people believe whatever they want to believe, that and again, this goes to the integrity of elections in Louisiana, because I know as Secretary of State, that's all you can speak to, I would presume, or maybe not. I don't know. But the openness to fraud or whatever when it comes to absentee balloting or early voting, there's no indication that any of that has ever taken place on a large scale, is there?
I can only speak to what
Louisiana.
Happens in Louisiana.
Yeah,
and in Louisiana, no. We always encourage people to vote in person when you can. We think that's the safest and most secure way to vote and you know, ensures that your ballot is going to be counted. You're not depending on the mail. But you know, we've never had any large-scale problem in Louisiana with fraud. So we have a very secure system with lots of checks and balances at every stage of the process. We had an audit after the 2020 election. A Louisiana legislative auditor, nonpartisan auditor, audited our presidential election in 2020 and found that we had safe and secure measures in place to ensure that our election was held with integrity.
So there are legitimate reasons to absentee vote. I guess the point I'm trying to make for people that are over 65, disabled or whatever, that cannot get to the polls, military members, etc.
Right. That's right. We do have people who legitimately need to absentee vote. They're not going to be in the state you know, during early voting or election day, or they're disabled or elderly or in the hospital, you know, in a sequestered jury. There are multiple circumstances, and we have 12 reasons that allow people to absentee vote if necessary.
So election day is November 5th. Early voting starts on October 18th. If there is,
that's right, this Friday.
So if there is a runoff, it goes to December 7th, or is a congressional election on? I'm confused.
Congress would go to a runoff in December, but not the presidential.
No, I realize that.
Presidential,
yeah. But there's not a separate congressional election that happens on November 5th.
Right.
Yeah.
It's November 5th for everything but it's the primary for the congressional, and then the runoff would be in December if there would be a need for a runoff in any of the races.
What about stickers? I want to know about the Go Vote stickers. What do those look like?
Great question. We have a great sticker this year. The artist is a Louisiana native. It's William Joyce. He's an Academy Award-winning illustrator and short filmmaker out of Shreveport. And it's a dapper little crawfish doing, a little happy walk after voting. And I think everybody's going to love it. It's really a great sticker. A little different from the ones we've had in the past, and just, you know, very happy and cheerful, and we love it.
Well, you can't go wrong with a voting sticker. I love mine. Tell me quickly about, where people can go to get more information about all this, Secretary?
They can go to govote.com. That's GEAUX vote.com. Or they can download our free award-winning Go Vote mobile app, and that's also GEAUX vote. It's a great app, and you can even find your sample ballot on the app.
You know, it is a dapper crawfish because he's wearing a top hat and a tuxedo and spats. You don't see many spat-wearing crawfish, do you?
We love him. We think he's great. His name is Mark DeBallet. That's what we named him.
Very nice. Anything else before we let you go? Any final thoughts?
Just everyone, if you haven't registered to vote yet for any reason and you're 18 years old, or you will be 18 by November 5th, be sure to register by tomorrow. Tomorrow is the deadline, and early voting starts this Friday. Remember to go out and vote.
So if you want to vote in a presidential election, tomorrow is the deadline to register online. Accurate?
That is right.
Okay, and can you still register at your local registrar's office, or is that parish?
You can't register in person. That deadline has passed unless they would offer you an iPad to register online. But it would be easier for people to just register online themselves.
And they do that at?
GoVote.com, GEAUX vote.com.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Happy election.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 922, that's Nancy Landry, Louisiana Secretary of State. Your name doesn't have to be Landry to be in state government, but you'll fit in a lot better if it is. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Rebecca Dietz, President and CEO of City Park Conservancy, about the future of City Park. And I asked you to text me at 504-260-1870. What would you like to see more of in City Park or less? Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. All right, 9:28 now. We're joined by Rebecca Dietz, the president and CEO of City Park Conservancy. Good morning, Ms. Dietz. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I guess it's okay to call you Rebecca because that's your name.
Yes.
Tell me how you came to be CEO of City Park. I know you started in June, right?
Yes, I started in June. I was serving as the chief administrative officer for City Park since 2021, and I had the privilege of being offered the job of CEO in June of 2024.
And you know all about the park, and you've worked for the improvement of, I guess you have a long history going back with the park, right?
I do, a long history with City Park, and before that I was with Audubon Park.
And you're from New Orleans?
I grew up in Arkansas. I've been in New Orleans since 1999.
I'm just trying to find out a little bit about you, that's all. But you're a native New Orleanian. Tell me about what it is that you hope to do with these. I guess we're talking about a long-range planning program for City Park here. What exactly are we trying to accomplish?
Absolutely. City Park is actually required by law to operate pursuant to a master plan. And the prior master plan City Park was operating under was passed in 2005, right before Hurricane Katrina. And it offered a roadmap for the park, for investment in the park and planning and growth until about 2018. That was the intent of that prior plan. Well, most of the elements of that prior master plan have been completed in the park. They focused on the south side. A lot of the improvements you see on the south side of the park right now occurred after Hurricane Katrina. So now we're looking to the next 20, 25 years. We want to focus on the safety of the park ecology and its health. We want to ensure it's welcoming to all visitors and residents. And we want to look at new park amenities. What does the next generation of park users want to see in City Park?
If you had to talk about biggest challenges that the park faces, what would you say?
Certainly, funding will always be a challenge for City Park. City Park generates about 80% of its revenue on-site, self-generated revenue. It receives 20% of its operating budget from public sources, a tax millage and a slot tax, a state slot tax reimbursement. So funding will always be a challenge. Also just maintenance, ensuring that we are taking care of the park with the most up-to-date management standards. We have aging infrastructure and some aging ecology. Our trees are, you know, every day your trees get older. We also face issues with invasive aquatic species, wildlife, parks face all kinds of challenges every day.
Tell me about this, the metaphor that you came up with for the making gumbo about engagement and planning, I think is brilliant. Talk about that, if you will, please.
Absolutely. You know, Tommy, City Park is such an incredible gathering place for the entire New Orleans community. It's also a collection of shared public spaces. So different user groups, people who use the park every day or use it sporadically, have to share the 1,300 acres that we call City Park. So the framework for public engagement over the next year is going to be collaborative, iterative. It's going to build on community feedback and the design work that we've done thus far. And we wanted to introduce a metaphor and concept that people in New Orleans and Louisiana would understand, which is making gumbo. The first thing we're going to do is make groceries. We're going to make sure everyone is at the table and that they have an understanding of the planning that's been done so far. Then we're going to introduce some planning concepts to the public, foundational placemaking planning. Then we're going to stir the roux and make sure we have all the right foundational base for the planning to continue. Then we're going to prep the ingredients. This is when we're going to develop programming concepts to diversify the experience a visitor can find in the park. Then we're going to mix the gumbo, bring everything together, foundational planning themes, placemaking themes, ensure that the entire community has had a voice. And then we're going to taste it. We're going to bring everyone to hopefully the final meeting and ask the community, did we get this right? And can we all agree on the future of City Park?
Have these meetings begun, or when do they begin?
So we have had meetings over the last year. Mm-hmm. We paused our engagement efforts back in April to have some more in-depth engagement meetings with park users. The next big community engagement meetings will start again in December. It's really interesting. We've also put together an Ideas Youth Committee. This is specifically to engage young people in New Orleans in the planning process. And the Youth Committee will start this month, and the bigger public meetings will begin in December, and we will have four of them over the next year.
I'm getting some text here, if you don't mind answering a couple of questions. Somebody's wondering about usage of the park by people not from New Orleans, and is that a net plus or net minus?
Oh, I think it's a net plus. Anytime we have visitors who can enjoy our public spaces, our museums, our culture here in New Orleans, I think it's a benefit. We're going to see wear and tear and use in the park no matter what, and we welcome people from all over.
Somebody else wants to know about the biggest money generators for City Park. Did you say most of the money comes from it's self-generated or not?
It's self-generated, that's correct. Our biggest money makers at City Park are some of our fundraisers, which are coming up. Celebration in the Oaks, which is our holiday light show, is one of our largest fundraising efforts and revenue generators.
And what about the golf course? Self-funding or not?
Yes. No, the golf course is part of our self-funded revenue. Yes, we do generate revenue at the golf course. It is run by a third-party operator, but we have a revenue share with that organization.
What are some of the ideas that you've heard that people have brought forth that might be different than what's there now?
Oh, you know, interestingly, I think most of what we've heard so far is that people want to enhance what is there rather than change it dramatically. But we have overwhelmingly heard from people that they want the park to feel safe and that they can pass through the entire park and enjoy all 1,300 acres of it. So I think safety, convenience, including more bathrooms, more parking, safer areas for parking, dedicated bike or pedestrian walkways. We've also heard that every sport that happens in City Park is the fastest growing sport in America. So everyone would like to see a little bit more of their sport in City Park.
Are there pickleball courts in City Park?
Yes, we do have pickleball courts. In our tennis facility, we have pickleball as well.
Somebody texted and said revenue will always be the park issue. We should have a Woodlands Resort Hotel, a grandparent-friendly wooded resort leveraging all the great things on City Park. Would that in any way fit into any part of a City Park
well,
plan?
We're certainly going to listen to all of the ideas that come to us through the planning process. And your listeners are correct. Revenue generation will always be top of mind at City Park. But we also want to make sure the park stays open and accessible for the entire public.
Somebody wants to know about something on the backside of the train ride during the holidays. I've not taken a train in a long time. I don't know what they're talking about. Talk about the train, I guess, that goes through City Park. When does that run?
Absolutely. It runs, I believe it runs Tuesday through Sunday. I need to probably double check that. It leaves from the amusement park. It does take a loop around the south side of the park. During Celebration in the Oaks, you can take the train through the historic oak grove on City Park Avenue, and we light up some of those trees. We light up the path. It really is a magical experience during the holidays.
And I did get a text about the softball quad that they concerned about. It's not what it used to be.
Certainly, the quad will be looked at in the planning process. It is heavily used. All different sports use the quad area. And we really are looking to do some major improvements there.
And somebody else wants to know about coyotes. Is that a big problem?
You know, coyotes is another issue that's always top of mind at City Park. We try to maintain, you know, a good balance in the park of wildlife and all that nature has to offer. But coyotes can become nuisance animals in the park. So currently we are looking at like a multi-pronged approach to address any coyote issue we have in the park.
If only get the feral hogs and the coyotes to eat each other. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, no feral hogs so far, knock on wood.
But that would just be, man, I'm telling you, that'd be a self-solving problem. Thank you. For people who want to find out more about this or weigh in, how do they do it?
Yes, please go to neworleanscitypark.org. You can find out everything about the planning process. We will also make sure to spread the news far and wide on when we have public meetings and engagement opportunities. We really are looking for voices from all over to help plan the future for City Park.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Rebecca Dietz, President and CEO of City Park Conservancy, 939, 21 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 944. 16 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It was a magical night in Tiger Stadium, the 100th anniversary of the stadium celebrated. And, man, what a game against Ole Miss. Won in overtime and, yeah, 4 hours long, a long game. A lot of reviews, everything else. But it was a magical night in Tiger Stadium. Bob Iback joins us now with Nico Sports. They got a 100th anniversary of Tiger Stadium limited edition football we're going to talk about. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, Tommy, it's always a pleasure to be with you again. And I know I was tuned into that TV set all night long. What a ball game. Man. I saw a lot of college football over the weekend. As you know, I covered college football for many, many years, both as a broadcaster and a newspaper reporter. And I have to say that was one of the most exciting games I've ever seen. And to have it happen on the 100th anniversary dedication of the football stadium, which – by the way, I saw recently was ranked the number one college football stadium in the country. And we have something really, really special for LSU Tiger fans. The 100th anniversary football that we're producing, it's full size, fully licensed. They're only going to make 2,024 of them. And in a moment, I'll give out a toll-free number and website. Hey, you can get this. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Cox Communication Academic Center for Student Athletes. They're priced at $119.95 each. And again, I want to emphasize, only 2,024 of these footballs will ever be produced. We just started making this announcement today, so I urge people to jump on that phone number and website when I give it out in a moment. Before I do that, I want to quickly describe what you'll get on the panels of the football. Everything on those panels is embossed, which will keep it fresh looking for years to come. Each football comes with a numbered certificate of authenticity. The top panel has the 100th anniversary official logo, stadium history, stadium facts. The middle panel has more Tigers football history and championship history right next to an LSU helmet logo. And that third panel is really cool because it really brings in Tiger Stadium. It's a full-color panoramic image of the stadium taken on an aerial photograph about 2 years ago, and we stretch it from one end of that panel to the other. So here's how you can get these footballs. Again, they're $119.95 each, very limited, 2024 will be made. The toll-free number to call today is 800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. If the lines are filled, go right to the website so you won't get left out. NicoSports.com. You spell it NICOSports.com. That's NICOSports.com or 800-345-2868. And Tommy, in parting, consider this for a holiday or Christmas gift idea. You'll have it in plenty of time to give to that Tigers fan and make it a very special period there in December.
Limited edition of only 2024. I'm looking at that, the panel with the picture, the panoramic view of Tiger Stadium. That pretty well says it all.
Isn't that something? They even got the Tiger band in the middle of the field, I'm told.
Yep, it's spelling out LSU, right. And it looks like it's getting ready for the players to run out on the field. And also for people that don't know what to do with the ball, you can upgrade if you like and get the mahogany box. That's all up to you at NicoSports.com. You can find out more about it. But give me a quick recap on all of this, please, if you will, Bob.
Sure. There are only 2,024 of these footballs made. They're full-size, fully licensed, comes with a numbered certificate of authenticity for $119.95 each, and the toll-free number to order them, 1-800-345-2868, 1-800-345-2868, or NicoSports.com, NICOSports.com. I think that game will go down against Ole Miss, that the overtime win, as one of the biggest wins in team history.
And you got a ball here to commemorate it all. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your time.
All right, Tommy, have a good day now.
You too. Bob Iback with Nico Sports. You can go to NICOSports.com to find out more. Don't forget, tomorrow you can join WWL for Medicare Enrollment Day. We're going to be on the road, and this doesn't happen often in the morning. Scoot is out on the road, and Newell's out on the road. I don't get to go out often at all, but you can join WWL for Medicare Enrollment Day tomorrow. I'll be out at 6 o'clock, and then Dave Cohen, and then Scoot, all broadcasting live from Metairie from People's Health Medicare Center on Vets from 6 till 4. The whole goal is to make your life easy. If you need to make a decision about Medicare, parts A, B, C, and D, which can be mind-numbing because I helped somebody go through this, for yourself or somebody you love, come out and see us. They're going to have Medicare experts to help you make an informed decision, and People's Health experts will host educational seminars at 10 and 1. But they will have people there when we're there early between 6 and 10 to help you walk you through the process, and sit down with you and explain it all, answer any questions you have. If you go to the website, try to figure it out. I'm talking about the Medicare website. Again, having helped a neighbor with this, it can just make your eyes glaze over. Plus, we're going to serve up coffee and donuts in the morning, give away some World War II museum tickets. So take the confusion out of your Medicare decision. Come out and meet me, Dave Cohen, and Scoot at Medicare and Roma Day, Tuesday, October 15th. Starts with me at 6, wraps up with Scoot at 4. That's all at the People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets, on Causeway next to Party City, right here in WWO. We can't wait to meet you. We'll take a break, come back, chat with Dave Cohen, who's in for Newell Norman today on WWL.